Log Talk Radio.
Time we're sitting there at his house, the cable man comes to fix the cable, and, yeah. And he says, "Yeah, pal, in the TV room there's no sound." Okay, sir, I'll go check. And he comes back in about 30 seconds later. He said he's got the remote in his hand. He says, "Sir, see this? It's a mute button."
You people, today is Tuesday, March 6, 2018, and you are Making the List. I am your host, Pat McNeil. This is episode 7 of Making the List, and today we will decide on the top 7 Ring of Honor matches of all time. Our phone number here is 515-605-9345. The email address, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Our PWTorch Livecast chat room is open, and of course you can send in your Twitter questions to us at Real Pat McNeil. Hello, I am Pat McNeil, and we are about ready to go here. Let's see, let me just check in here. I have not heard from Ian Riccaboni, but I'm sure he will be checking in shortly here on the program. And we had a lot of suggestions regarding what the top 7 Ring of Honor matches of all time are. Ring of Honor started 16 years ago, getting ready for its 16th anniversary this weekend. Anyway, we have callers standing by. I know that we have email questions we haven't gotten to. Let me see here if we have anything clever from our good friend, Soundboard Vince McMahon. Soundboard.
Take your bra and take it off now.
No, that's probably not appropriate here today. 515-605-9345. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Let me just put that in there. Okay, I sent the text to Ian. I'm sure he'll be calling back any second now. Why don't we go to the phones, because we're foolish that way, and we're going to start the program. Speaking of foolish, let's go to Cumberland, Maryland, where I'm sure Ryan is standing by. Hello, Ryan. You're making the list. Good afternoon, Houston. Hello. Okay, Ryan, are you there? All right. Well, that perhaps didn't go as well as I hoped. All right, 515-605-9345. Let's see what matches we were talking about coming up with for our top 7. Okay, here we go. I have a message from Ian Riccaboni, who is standing by, no doubt. We came up with a list. We put it up on the internet. 26 of the top matches in Ring of Honor history. We'll narrow these down to 7, or we'll narrow down some ones that that you have in mind for us. See, on that list included our Davey Richards from Death Before Dishonor 8. Tyler Black, as you may know, is your favorite, and his Seth Rollins. Loki versus Kenta from Final Battle 2005. Also, the Ladder War with Kevin Steen and El Generico taking on. Oh, here we go. This has got to be him, I'm guessing. Let's give a warm making the list welcome to Ring of Honor announcer Ian Riccaboni. Hello. Ian, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Pat, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm sorry I missed you. It's been a busy day, preparation, you know,
yes.
16th anniversary.
Understood.
Getting ready.
I know. It's great. That's coming up this Friday, is it not? Yes, this Friday in Las Vegas.
This Friday, right, at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Honor Club VIP members get it for free. Through our new Honor Club service. So, you know, you save a whole bunch of money through the course of the year, and you get a lot of great live wrestling action by becoming a VIP member. So really excited about that. And, of course, Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, which I believe will end up on the list when it's all said
really?
And done. I think that's a match capable and has the potential of being one of the all-time great matches that will end up on the list.
Okay. I'm anxious to see that. There are some people who are more excited about another match that could steal the show, which is the Hung Bucks of Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and Adam Page in a Las Vegas street fight against SoCal Uncensored of Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky. And obviously we've had five of those six guys on this program. Well, I've interviewed five of them, so you know I'm kind of partial towards that match as well. That looks to be very exciting.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. Anytime the Young Bucks are in an environment where it's a street fight, where there could be trash cans, tables, chairs, ladders, you name it, they are certainly dangerous. And we saw that at Manhattan Mayhem this past weekend, where they will risk life and limb
yes.
matches. And we saw that last year in Las Vegas when they defended competed for the tag team championships against the Hardys and Roppongi Vice. So they're willing to do just about anything. So I would agree. I think that one could end up pretty crazy as well.
And the Briscoes and the Motor City Machine Guns, that could also end up crazy. I mean, that's a possibility.
Absolutely. This is only the fourth time they've ever faced each other, which is amazing considering the Machine Guns formed for 11 years ago and the Briscoes, well, they've been together since birth, but they've been wrestling as nearly 18 years. So 11 and 18 years, a lot of crossover there, and to have only wrestled four times, this being the fourth, is kind of wild. So I expect something spectacular, having called the third match in that series last year in Minneapolis.
Okay. All right. So are you ready to talk to the people who no doubt have their suggestions as to what the top seven Ring of Honor, what matches should be on the list of the top seven Ring of Honor matches of all time?
Absolutely. Let's talk to the fans.
Okay. Absolutely. Let's go to the phones. Whoever it is on the 814 area code, please state your name and town, and you are making the list. Hello.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hello, Ryan.
First match I'd like to submit is Mandy Leanne against Taylor Hendricks, because that was somewhat of a historic match, because that's the match that Kelly Klein made her Ring of Honor debut, and also it was actually a shoot match because the referee accidentally counted Mandy Leanne, who was supposed to win that match, but she couldn't get up from the suplex that Taylor Hendricks gave her.
Okay, well let's check for fake news here. Ian, is this actually what happened?
So I remember that match well. It was in California, Pennsylvania. It was one of the first Women of Honor matches I ever called. And, you had to, like they say, you got to be there to see the matches. And, it was a match that made her debut, and she certainly made a more assertive debut a few weeks later when she defeated Ray Lynn in Dayton, Ohio. But I do remember this, and, that Taylor that day was the better wrestler, and she picked up the victory.
Yep, that's how it works. Ryan, you are allowed to ask questions of Mr. Riccaboni now that you've submitted something for the list. So.
Okay.
That is
my second submission is to involve a question with it. It's a match between Jushin Thunder Liger and Jay Lethal. Were the wrestlers standing outside of the rampway to watch that match? Because Jushin Thunder Liger is such a legend in wrestling.
They were. I believe that was at Supercard of Honor in 2015. Is that the bout you're referencing?
I thought this was a more recent match that was like a tournament-based. It was like an eight-man tournament, and I think it was like a TV match.
Huh.
Yeah, the only time I can recall them facing each other was in Redwood, California, and I believe that was 2015 for Supercard of Honor. With the television championship on the line. But I could be mistaken. That was the same event where Jay Briscoe defended the championship.
There was a match between Liger and Lethal on ROH television. I mean, that's in the first round match in the Decade of Excellence tournament.
That's right. That was in Atlanta. How could I forget that one?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was – I'm sorry, Philadelphia. The tournament concluded in Atlanta. Yeah. No, that one was a great match, and we were all also congregated outside for that as well, because it was also Steve Corino's last match in Ring of Honor, faced Cody. So, yeah, that was a bittersweet night. You know, we said goodbye to a few folks who were moving on to different places and different locations. That was one of our last nights that Kevin Sullivan was with us in Ring of Honor as well. So it was a really bittersweet night. I got to spend a lot of time talking with Steve, who remains a good friend, and Kevin Sullivan, and Colt Cabana that night. So I do remember that night well, and we were pretty much ringside. I mean, as close as you can get without folks noticing you at the 2300 Arena and watching that. So I recall that bout for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Good deal.
And my final question for Ian is, do you think you'll ever step foot in a Ring of Honor ring, and who would be the ideal opponent if you were to, do say, to protect you in such a match?
Oh, my goodness. It would have to be tag team, and my partner would be Colt Cabana or BJ Whitmer. You know, those two guys are my commentary partners, and they're both former tag team champions. So I would really like to I would never do it. I hope it never comes to that. I would strongly discourage it. But, you know, if it had to happen, I'd have to have one of those guys with me. Ideal opponent? Man, I guess I'm a pretty big guy, but I don't know anything about wrestling. So it'd have to be somebody, that was on the same experience level as I am. So maybe Bobby Cruz.
Bobby Cruz. There you go. Bobby Cruz. And I guess Bobby Cruz would have a tag team partner.
Yeah, and I guess maybe Corino. I mean, that would be a dream match, right? You know, me and BJ versus Corino and Bobby Cruz. I think that would
be
fair.
It would be a dream match for somebody. All right.
Right.
I like that. That's got some. That's a good idea. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ryan. We'll be checking back with you next week, and glad you had some suggestions for the list this week.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Ryan. All right, Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. Of course, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. I should have checked that already, but let's look at some other matches that could be on the list. One that I think is going to be mentioned early and often is from the trilogy between Samoa Joe and CM Punk back in 2004. The second match of the three is considered by a lot of people to be the best. That's a subjective thing, because those are all very good matches. I don't know how deeply you want to. I don't know if that's your hill to die on, saying the second match is better than the first. You know?
Yeah. I hold both the first and the second match in equally high regard. You know, and I loved all three. So that's like picking between your children. I think where it comes down to is if you're okay with the result of a draw. You know, if you believe that every match should have a final ending, or if every match should be, should be settled within the ring, I think that's where folks get hung up and start to make their decision. You know, and if you're okay with the draw, that points you one direction or the other. But, one, two, and three, I've seen them all, and there's a great Samoa Joe compilation that has two of them, and then there's another CM Punk compilation that has all three, I believe. So it's that's asking me to split hairs here for sure.
Okay. I'm guessing Punk and Joe will wind up on the list somewhere. All right, do you have one you want to throw in here?
Sure. I loved the Hardys Young Bucks ladder match, and that was by far the most exciting. That was by far the most exciting match I've ever called. There were twists and turns and danger and excitement and unpredictability. I'd also like to throw in Jay White versus Will Ospreay. I think that's just an underappreciated, overlooked instant classic that took place at the War of the Worlds tour last year on our pay-per-view from New York City. It was one of the best matches I've ever seen live. Just two incredible world-class athletes. wrestling for the sake of wrestling. It was a match based on the fact that these were two young men trying to move up the ladder and do their thing. And it was something that they told a beautiful story of two guys really just trying to make their mark. So for me, those are two of my favorite matches I've ever called, for sure. And I really think that was an underappreciated bout that fans out of Honor Club should definitely check out on that New York War of the World stop last year.
Oh yeah, I think that's a great deal. Yes, I remember the Hardys and Young Bucks well because I got to cover the show here. I got to do the write up on the show, and it was the largest crowd in Ring of Honor history at the time. But you know, earlier today the announcement was made that the elite, you know, of the Bullet Club are doing an all in show in Chicago, trying to fill a 10,000 seat arena. Ring of Honor is not doing that at Supercard of Honor, but they are trying to fill a 9,000 seat arena at the UNO Lakefront Arena in New Orleans. And it's my understanding that they are closer to being full than being empty. Is that correct?
Oh, that is correct. So right now, I believe it's set up for about 5,300 or 5,400. I don't have the exact number, but I know it's in that ballpark. And we have blown the official Ring of Honor attendance record out of the water at this point by at least 1,000 or more. And if you go on ROHWrestling.com, it's really fun to follow along with the ticket sales because you can see day after day there's less and less available tickets at face value. And it's kind of incredible if you think about it, because we've only announced one match, and we've announced that Tanahashi's going to be there. We've announced that Tomohiro Ishii is going to be there, that Kota Ibushi is going to be there. So we've announced some talent. Obviously, the Young Bucks are going to be there. The semifinals and the finals of the Women of Honor Championship Tournament will take place there as well. So those are things we know. Yeah, but this event is really become a happening all in itself. And I would say a good 3,500 of those tickets just sold before we had any talent announced. So that really speaks to what an event this is becoming. So we're really thankful about that. I mean, the pay-per-view this Friday sold out. Traditionally, sometimes when we run cities back-to-back, the second night of the doubleheader is a little bit lighter, but, you know, the Vegas fans are really turning out, and there's very limited tickets available for the TV taping the next night. So if you're hearing this and you plan on coming out for the TV taping, get your tickets now, because I believe there's about 100 of those left. So not very many. And we've been very blessed in 2017 to see attendance go up in the 2018 super huge crowds in Nashville and Concord, Center Stage and New York City. All sellouts are very close to this. So, you know, just incredible the fan support that we've had. And, you know, Supercard of Honor, it's going to be a happening, and All In is another beast completely. I'm calling Cody every day. I'm calling the Bucks every day. Hey, what do I got to do? I mean, they made me sing at the Hammerstein, so the least they can do is at least, you know, throw me a bone and maybe have me and Colt call a match or two.
Now here's the thing, but nobody's talked about this, and I understand, you know, we still have a little time, almost 6 months. Is this show going to be up on the Honor Club? Or, I mean, is it going to be a pay-per-view? Are people going to be able to see it?
I know Cody is working on ways to see it. I don't know if it ends up on Honor Club, on New Japan World, on both.
Yeah.
If it's a solo pay-per-view or a VOD, I know that he's definitely exploring options. And this is the interesting part. In the world we live in, we always, you know, there was a great article on Cody on The Ringer, and a great interview and a great piece. And it talked a lot about his relationship with his father, Dusty, the American Dream, and about how with Dusty, you never knew how much of the story was true or not. But I can tell you with 100% certainty that, you know, Cody, when he says he and the Young Bucks are financing this event and they're working at their own deals, and really the only involvement from Ring of Honor and New Japan is just kind of a talent exchange and letting their talent work for him. That is the absolute certain truth. And so I know they are exploring options because I have no doubt that this event will sell out at 10,000 people, and I have no doubt that, you know, it will become bigger than that, and folks from around the world will want to see it live. So I know they are exploring, whether it be Honor Club or New Japan World or iPay-Per-View or some other arrangement, maybe Fight TV. I know that's been thrown out as well.
Yeah, why not? The sky, you know, that's one of those, the sky's the limit. And I mean, but this is the sort of thing, you know, this show has a life of its own. I don't know that, you know, all the other people are going to try to put together, you know, copycat versions of it. They're going to find it difficult to do without Cody and the Young Bucks, for one thing.
Right, and Kenny Omega's already been announced, and
yeah,
Stephen Amell. And you know what's interesting? I've already heard that there are piggyback shows already lined up now that the location has started
and
stated and the date, and there's going to be piggyback shows on Thursday and Friday. Kind of like folks do with WrestleMania. So that's kind of an interesting consequence. So anything to get, you know, anybody some extra bucks and some extra dates and anything to get, you know, money in the hands of wrestlers, that's always good.
Okay, we need your calls, 515-605-9345, so we can get some serious arguing done and pound out this list of the top seven Ring of Honor matches of all time. There's only like a couple hundred to choose from, so it's it should be easy, I figure. We will be back with more of Making the List after this timeout. And now, page two.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday Edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harlaw talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn, go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Hi, everyone. We like to talk here on the PW Torch Livecast on Making the List about our sponsor, Harry's. Harry's is all about a great shave at a great price. You're going to love shaving with Harry's. You're going to love the quality of the blades, the comfortable glide, the closeness of the shave, the best shave that you're ever going to have. Created by Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys set up with the high price of razor blades. Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features, the 15 lubricating strips, the vibrating handles, you know, all the stuff that you don't care about, and unnecessary costs, and they deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price because a good shave comes down to good blades. Harry's owns the factory. They're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Now, special offer for listeners of Making the List. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they will give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up right now at harrys.com/PWTorch. You do pay $3 for shipping, But the trial kit is a $13 value. It includes your razor with five blades, your lathering shave gel, and your travel blade cover. And we think you'll agree it's the best shave you ever had. All products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee from Harry's. Go to harrys.com/pwtorch, figure out how to get the special offer, and then figure out whether you want quality razor blades delivered to your door each month. That's Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S, harrys.com. And we return with more of Making the List here on PWTorchLivecast.com. The number is 515-605-9345. I am PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. He is Ian Riccaboni, the play-by-play man for Ring of Honor Wrestling, the second-largest wrestling promotion in this great nation of ours. Ian, good to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat.
Well, it's no problem, especially when, especially in the middle of a great week for you guys, when you have the big Friday night pay-per-view, Ring of Honor's 16th anniversary, when you have a big Saturday show, a TV taping in Las Vegas. So are you actually in Vegas, or do you go in the next couple days?
I head out Thursday morning, so it's right now I'm in beautiful Allentown, Pennsylvania, with a long-storied history of wrestling of our own, which... Some of it, I believe, appears to be ending up on our good friends of the WWE Network's
All-Star
website
Wrestling.
Lately.
Yes. I'm trying to catch up. If you like watching Bobo Brazil grab a headlock, this is probably some stuff you want to check out.
Absolutely. But, you know, we have Ring of Honor, like we mentioned, as a little bit of service of our own. And there's all kinds of events on Honor Club scheduled from 2011 through 2017 right now with lots of great more matches to come. One that I've always liked that I'll throw out there is Austin Aries versus Bryan Danielson from 2004.
Oh, yeah. Would that be testing the limit?
It would be, absolutely.
Two out of three falls, Austin Aries versus Bryan Danielson. Now, that's you can watch that right now on Honor Club, is what you're saying?
I believe that's in the Bryan Danielson compilation that's on there, yeah. I've always been a big fan. Danielson versus Morishima is great from Manhattan Mayhem, I believe in 2007.
Yes.
And just anything Bryan Danielson. So right now, as we're expanding our classic section, there is some great Danielson compilations available right this second with plenty more to come. So that's one of the great things you can do with Honor Club is watch some of the great matches. One that I'll throw out there from 2015, Jay Lethal beating Jay Briscoe at Best in the World for the World Championship.
Yeah. That one's come up, yes. Let's see. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember exactly what year it is, but a match I did get to see in person at Southern Navigation. It was Bryan Danielson and Tyler Black. And I know there's a couple of people online who are very high on that match.
Absolutely. That is a great bout. That's one that was on my must-watch list before I became the lead announcer here. So it's funny, you don't really get a playbook or whatnot to do the job, but there are plenty of suggestions from folks online, which is great. It speaks a lot about the Ring of Honor community, the passionate fans we have, and the fans that have really stuck with us as we've, there's been some comments maybe about, the changing of the Ring of Honor identity. But I think our DNA has stayed true, and I think Ring of Honor still has the same spirit that we had when we formed in 2002.
Yeah. Okay, that match, by the way, May 9th, 2008 in Manassas, Virginia. That was a good night. That wasn't even the main event. The main event was the No Remorse Corps against, Kenta, Morishima, and Go Shiozaki.
Those are great names that you don't hear enough anymore, especially Kenta. He's such a great athlete and such a rich history in Ring of Honor for somebody that wasn't necessarily under contract per se, right?
So. Right. Yeah, he's become sort of a forgotten man elsewhere, and that's a shame. You don't want that to be the case. All right. Let's talk about some of the other. Let's talk about some of the other great matches from the past that we can throw on here. I mean, obviously, yeah. Okay, Brian Danielson versus Kenta. That should be on there. That was Glory by Honor 5. I mean, the problem is Brian Danielson, he is all over, you know, the list of the greatest matches because of the length of, partially because of the length of time he was there.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing, too, when you do think about the length and the breadth of his run in Ring of Honor and what he did in establishing the Ring of Honor style, you know, whether it was the very first Ring of Honor event or, you know, through the years until he left in, you know, was it 2009, I believe? Sorry, the years are running together for me. But really just elevating himself and those around him in just everything he did. And he's somebody that, you know, it was so special. And if I had one wrestler that who's currently retired that I wish I would be able to call about for, it would absolutely be Brian Danielson. Just an incredible, incredible wrestler. And, you know, his health is obviously
more
important.
You know, a little patience, Ian. I think, you never know, right?
I mean, stranger things have happened, but, you know, his health is certainly the most important thing, so.
Yes, I agree. But, he's one of those guys you want to see come back, but you don't want to see get hurt. Let's see. Michael Elgin and Davey Richard from Showdown at the Sun and the Sun back in
2012.
I believe that was 6 years ago already. Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible. And you know, just the intensity from both those competitors, and that's a match that that I can watch, you know, time after time. And as somebody that, you know, at the time, you know, that was a moment when I was just kind of entering the workforce and really focusing on getting married and the career and all that fun stuff and trying to break into baseball television. That was a match that I actually saw later. I watched just a DVD that I happened to get from the ROH Pro Shop, and I had very little idea that was on it. So that was one of the, you know, all personal things aside, that was one of the best matches I have ever seen that I didn't expect to see, so to speak. A great, great match. And I'd like to add, there's obviously Joe versus Kobashi. I don't know if you've had that one yet.
We haven't talked about that, but that was, you know, that was back in 2005, a match that a lot of people who hadn't seen Ring of Honor yet decided, you know, this I might want to check out.
Yeah, it's crazy because I believe it was Kobashi's first match ever in the U.S. And incredible, like the intensity. Speaking of intensity, I mean, the two of them, I believe at one point Kobashi's left arm starts to bleed just from how hard Joe was hitting him. It looked like he opened up maybe an old wound, which is kind of crazy because you usually get chopped or hit on the chest or the head, you can see the blood. You can see the blood vessels kind of percolate, and that's what always stands out to me about that match. Was of all things Kobashi's left arm, and you know that to me was just a mark of intensity that I didn't really appreciate until I watched it back the second and third time.
And it's just some amazing. Samoa Joe's title reign, I think, was. I think that was a big boost for Ring of Honor. He was, you know, he was doing the, I am the game, I am the greatest, you know, thing before Triple H was doing it and doing it better. I think just, you know, as the intensity of him as champion and hopefully he's going to be back wrestling again soon. It's the wrong time to be out with an injury.
Unfortunately.
All right, one more thing. I do want to go over some of the stuff for this Saturday. Well, excuse me, for this Friday. I keep thinking Saturday, but you guys do Friday night pay-per-views. Las Vegas at the 16th anniversary show. You know, you've got a few, you know, big matches, but one that's just been announced. Marty Scurll, somewhat recently, Marty Scurll and Punishment Martinez. That I think is going to be different, but interesting.
Yeah, I think it's going to test both men because Marty's a very technically sound wrestler. He uses a lot of the World of Sport style wrestling and strategy where he works with small joint manipulation, but different than a way a UFC fighter might do so. And he's able to really hone in on the small joints that help stabilize and help wrestlers really attack, and whether that's the fingers, the wrists, the elbows. And he's a guy that really belongs in the world title conversation. You know, he's one of the great TV champions we've ever had. I believe he's tied for second all time in most defenses. I believe he tied Matt Taven for that mark a few years back. And, Jay Lethal is number one, but hey, to be number two to Jay Lethal in anything is not bad at all. And so Marty's really entered himself into this world title class and world title picture. And Punishment Martinez obviously has done the same. He had won Survival of the Fittest back in November. And he's a guy that can really take a big jump and get maybe another title shot should he beat a guy the caliber of Skrull. So I think where he's going to be tested is, can he keep up with Skrull, whether that is, you know, footwork, whether that's agility, whether that's speed and quickness. Martinez is nearly 6'7", and he's a hair under 260, but he does have that small man agility. We've seen him do, you know, leap over the top to the outside. We've seen him springboard to the outside. He does a twisting senton where he does almost like a lion salt before the senton. And he's a guy that really has stepped up his game in 2017 and heading into 2018. I think he's poised for a big year, but you know, this match totally has number one contender like ramifications. It's not officially a number one contender match, but I'd have to imagine the winner would be put right in the number one contender picture. And I'm excited to see it. I think it's going to be a big test on a big stage for both men.
Okay. We still have to place the matches from 7-1, and I think that's probably going to be the most difficult part. So keep the calls coming, 515-605-9345. We'll have more of Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast in a moment.
Oh, and now for a word from someone. I forget. I think they sell paint.
Rich Van, formerly of the Primetime Friday Livecast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the livecast are officially all right for diving.
All right, Making the List returns here on PW Torch Livecast. Your telephone number is 515-605-9345. Email address, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Chat room's open, Twitter's open. I'm Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist. He is Ian Riccaboni, play-by-play man for Ring of Honor, and also pretty much been over on the ground floor of Women of Honor, if I'm remembering
correctly. Absolutely. That's where I got my start. I was brought in to call Future of Honor and Women of Honor, both when ideas were almost embryos. I was brought in the summer of 2014, and by the summer of 2015, we had athletes, but more importantly, we had great talent in mind and lined up, and it's really blossomed into something where that core group has attracted athletes that have made their name outside of Ring of Honor to come to Ring of Honor. Women like Tennille Dashwood, like the athletes from Stardom, like Mayu Iwatani, who's one of the most successful women wrestlers in the world right now. And it's just been incredible to see what women like Mandy Leon and Kelly Klein and Deonna Purrazzo and Jenny Rose and Sumi Sakai, specifically Sumi Sakai, have contributed to make this thing grow the way it has.
Mm-hmm. And also the other big announcement today, Ring of Honor tickets for Honor United in the UK, they'll go on sale tomorrow. Well, for Honor Club members anyway. Friday for the general public. Edinburgh, Scotland on May 24th. London, England on the 26th. And Doncaster, I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's May 27th with Ring of Honor and New Japan stars. And one of those shows, for all we know, might even make it, might even be a live or semi-live show. Something we can watch.
Yeah, I believe the idea right now is to have all the ROH on tours broadcast through Honor Club. Internationally, sometimes that becomes a hurdle to cross, but I will definitely keep everybody in the loop, as I'm sure Ring of Honor will as well, and we'll shout it from the mountaintops. But I know we are attempting to do all live ROH events, or most live ROH events. I know one that's a question mark right now is the Jericho cruise that's coming up in October, but we don't know if we can broadcast from a boat, but we might try. I believe that we will attempt, if possible, to bring you the UK tour live, but I'll get some more clarification on that.
Oh yeah, I'd like to see that. I think most of your subscribers would like to see that. All right, we've gotten about, geez, I don't know, at least 15 submissions for the list here. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to throw another series out at you. There's Kevin Steen fought El Generico in the at Final Battle 2012. But they had a lengthy series of matches, most of those can pretty much go on the list as well.
I would agree. I think the Final Battle matchup in 2012. Which for a number of years was Ring of Honor's most watched video on YouTube, is one of the very, very best matches that I've ever seen. It's also one of the most intense. It's something where their tag team, sometimes the best friends make the best enemies. And we definitely saw that in Ring of Honor. And I would definitely nominate their 2012 match at Final Battle for the list as well.
Okay. That's good. Let's see. Do you have any others you'd like to toss in? I know you've already submitted a lot here.
I have. I think the tough part's going to be narrowing them down.
just a little bit, yeah.
There's an incredible match that BJ Whitmer and I called. For Honor Club members, this is really important because I don't know how many people got to see this because it was just on DVD and VOD. And so the great thing is this is another hidden gem. It's from Columbus in 2016, Road to Best in the World, and it's Jay Briscoe versus Roderick Strong. And it was one of the most intense matches that I've ever called. Definitely a hidden gem worth seeking out on Honor Club.
Okay. That's another fine choice. Let's see. Yeah, there's just too many on this list, but why not? Tyler Black, Davey Richards, Death Before Dishonor 8. I'm pretty sure. Did I mention that? Well, if I didn't mention that, it's going in here anyway. There are a lot of good. Yeah, there are a lot of good matches which have been rated. Even if you just narrow it down to the matches that got rated 4.25 or better in the Observer, that's still a lot of matches. And
absolutely.
It doesn't cover the entire library. So yeah.
And I'm taking a peek at your list here, and there are a number of great matches on here as well. One that sticks out, the three-way tornado tag, War Machine, Young Bucks, and Best Friends from last year at Best in the World.
That was an incredible match.
Yeah. And so we've had a number of great matches. American Wolves versus Red Dragon. That's one that I definitely hold in high regard as well. Some of these are just amazing, and it's going to be difficult to narrow it down. I don't know if it's easier to go from 7 to 1 or 1 to 7.
It depends on the topic, but usually, one is usually starting at one, makes it easier. And once you get sometimes you just want to hit the top 7 and then start sorting them. So let's see. Okay, what do you want to put at number 1?
I think we have to go, and this is, I mean, this might be the easy answer, but I think Punk versus Samoa Joe number two, I think that, I mean, that captured me as a fan almost more than anything. And I remember seeking out the VHS tape. I found a way to order the VHS because the DVD was $5 more. So I
guess that's right. I remember that. Back in the day.
So I got the VHS tape, and that was one of the first ones. You know, I knew I had to check out Ring of Honor when it first started, and I remember Borders carried some of the initial DVDs when they were re-released through Takedown Masters. So
yes.
I got a couple of those, but I remember seeking out the VHS. So if it's all right with you, I'm gonna say Punk versus Samoa Joe number one.
Oh, I'm fine. No, that's good. Let's see here. Okay, so number two. Oh, geez. There's no wrong answer. I keep coming back to Daniel Bryan and Austin Aries from Philadelphia, testing the limit. Is that wrong?
I'd be all right with that. I mean, I think it was over 70 minutes of pretty nonstop.
Well, spoiler
action,
alert, but it's a 2 out of 3 falls match, and it did last for a long time. Yes, that's it's amazing. Some of these matches they seem like they happened long ago, and some of them seem like I just saw them yesterday for the first time. I don't know what
it's
causes
incredible,
that.
Isn't it?
Probably similar. that's probably what causes that. Okay. All right. We have those two. We also have. Let's see. I mean, one of the comments that's been made about Ring of Honor is that it's basically been two different promotions. You've had the pre Sinclair version and the current version. Because the Sinclair version is done with an eye towards breaking even, trying to build an audience, the older version of Ring of Honor, I don't want to say it was just for tape traders, but it was designed for hardcore fans. They didn't feel the need to branch out necessarily.
Sure, and having gotten to know Kerry Silken very well, Kerry will tell you that that version of Ring of Honor, while revered, could certainly be viewed in the IRS. In the eyes of the IRS as a passion project.
that's valid.
And so while I definitely appreciate the history of Ring of Honor, I'm so glad right now, without revealing the very generous benefits that I receive, I think Ring of Honor is amazing right now because it allows us to get great athletes, great wrestlers, and it allows the great athletes and great wrestlers to only have to do Ring of Honor if they choose, and to be home most weeks out of the year, and have a really nice schedule and really compete in a family environment. And a lot of our guys do compete on their local independents as well, which gives some local fans an opportunity to see, national and international TV stars and make some extra money, but, they don't need to, which is pretty cool. But in that same vein, two of the guys that crossed over are Nick and Matt Jackson. And I think I would put their ladder match with the Hardys at number three. For me, that might be bias because that was one of the first.
I expect it is. But that's okay.
that was one of the first big time matches that I was in the arena for to call. But that was just an incredible match. And I still remember how I feel or how I felt. And I think when you talk about whether it's classic era or present era, I think how you felt when you saw the match for the first time, it for me is the indicator of the mark it's left on you and how great it really was. So that for me, that was the match that I thought it doesn't get better than this when I saw it. So I'll put that at number three.
Yeah. And it did, and hopefully it's still real to you, Ian.
I've met Dave. Dave's a nice guy.
He is. He's a really good guy. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Okay. So we've got. We're almost halfway done. Let me think here. Jeez. Okay. I don't know. I know. We talked about Michael Elgin and Davey Richards, but there was also a Davey Richards Eddie Edwards match at Best in the World 2011. That's pretty high
right
there. I don't know. Yeah. I know you're talking about your children and all that. It's just, it's hard to delineate. I might do Tyler Black and Davey Richards at Death Before Dishonor 8. I might just have to put that in there. That's
That's fine by me.
Okay, there we go.
Absolutely, and that, okay, that you know, hopefully that match will be available. Hopefully that will be available soon on Honor Club. I know they're working on some of the footage from that year, 2010. So hopefully we'll be able to see that soon for Honor Club members.
Yep, that's okay. So now Honor Club, just for everybody listening, Honor Club has it's one structure. It's like $9.99 for the basic membership, and the other one if you want the pay per views live.
Right, so $9.99 per month. If you want the back catalog, if you want access to pre-sale on tickets, if you want the discount on the merchandise, it's a great option. You can see our television show. You can see our television show for anybody watching on ROHWrestling.com. But the back catalog of that, et cetera, is available for $9.99 a month. If you pay $119 for the year, you get all of our great events live. And the $9.99 membership will get you what we call ROH on tour events, like Manhattan Mayhem, like Honor Reign Supreme. But the $119 will get you anything that is also distributed by a company like DirecTV or in-demand pay-per-view or what's normally considered a pay-per-view event. You will be able to stream those through ROHWrestling.com. And we do have apps coming through Apple, Android operating system as well as a Roku app that should be coming out in the upcoming weeks. So we're really excited about that. We're really trying to create an immersive experience. But right now, the back catalog, which you get for the $9.99 and the VIP membership, is available online. And right now it stretches from 2011 through 2017. So you can watch all of our great events through there. And you can see a lot of the great matches we're talking about right now. There's some compilations available to watch, including a Bryan Danielson compilation, which has some of the great matches as well. There's some shoot interviews for folks who like those, including one with CM Punk and Colt Cabana. That one I really enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a really cool behind-the-scenes look, which I've never seen before, with Bobby Cruz. It's pretty much a day in the life of Bobby Cruz. And I love Bobby Cruz, but I had no idea that he'd done this. So it's a cool feature from 2013. On what goes into the production of a Ring of Honor event, which is pretty neat. So there's all kinds of hidden gems. There's going to be exclusive matchups. We have a great four-way from Nashville, Tennessee that we did. That's up there as a Honor Club exclusive, and there's going to be a lot more of that as well.
All right, great. Tell you what, we're going to take one more break. We'll come back. We will knock out the rest of this list and talk a little bit more about what's coming up from Ring of Honor. This is Making the List here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Don't touch that dial, kids.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on Earth. People.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
And don't forget, at the end of the broadcast, our friendly announcer guy will be telling you how you can become a VIP member here at pwtorch.com and get more audio content than anyone else in the professional wrestling business. Stay tuned. All right, PW Torch Livecast presents Making the List here on a Tuesday afternoon, March the 6th. I'm Pat McNeil along with Ian Riccaboni. Ian, how can the fans follow you via social media and learn more about Ring of Honor?
Oh, absolutely. I'm available at Ian Riccaboni on all social media. And at Ring of Honor is really the place to be on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram. ROHWrestling.com is how you sign up for Honor Club, where you can see all of our great live events. And, hey, even if you become a regular member at $9.99 a month, we're streaming all ROH On Tour events live. So those that are branded ROH On Tour, you'll be able to see those for free. So, you know, if you want to connect with me, I love talking to Ring of Honor fans at Ian Riccaboni, and to keep up with Ring of Honor at Ring of Honor and ROHWrestling.com.
All right. That's fantastic. Let's try and knock out these last three so we can send everybody off into a great Tuesday night and hopefully a great weekend for everybody. Now the TV tapings aren't going to be on, or they're not going to be live over the air. I mean that just wouldn't make sense, right?
Right. That's true. anything branded as a TV taping, you will see on either Sinclair affiliate or Fight TV app or ROHWrestling.com. We put the episodes up every Monday.
Okay. All right. So there's one we didn't talk about, but the initial Dragon Gate six-man back in 2006. Let's see. Oh, geez. It was a Blood Generation versus Do Fixer. That sounds right for some reason. Anyway, that was that was a crazy match. I don't know. I mean, I remember getting 5 stars at the time. I don't know if it has a long term impact into Ring of Honor history, but I think that's one we could probably talk about. Do you have one? Do you have another one that you think should end up at number five? Ian? Did I lose Ian? Please tell me I didn't lose Ian. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I like Joe versus Kobashi.
Oh, that's right.
We
got to put that in. Yeah, okay. Samoa Joe versus Kobashi.
In terms of long-term impact, you know, the Young Bucks versus the Hardys, I like that because it's solidified and cemented the Young Bucks' place in not only the history of present tag team wrestling, but also, you know, just the annals of tag team wrestling. I think by bringing in an attraction like Kobashi to face Joe, I think that was out of this world, and it really, really started to turn heads for those that hadn't started to recognize ROH yet. So,
okay, number six. Then I'm thinking the Ladder War. I'm thinking Kevin Steen and El Generico versus the Briscoes at Man Up. I'm thinking
Ooh.
That was a, and that was if I
yeah.
remember correctly, that was on pay per view. The initial ROH on demand pay per views.
Absolutely. That was on, I believe that was, what was it, Go Fight Live or Go Fight?
I don't know if it was on Go Fight Live. You know, I know there are probably people in the office there who probably were hoping we'd get through the entire hour without mentioning those three words together. So maybe we should move along then.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. No, that was a very wild finish to a show. And right after, and I think that was the exact, and then right after that, I think was the debut of the Age of the Fall. So,
correct. Yep. And just, I just remember the blood dripping.
Oh yeah.
And just, that's an image that stays with you forever.
That wasn't PG. No, it wasn't. All right.
No.
Nope. Definitely not. Okay. So really there's only one slot left and we only have about 50 or 60 matches to choose from, so this should be easy.
I'm gonna suggest two, and they both involve
okay.
Bryan Danielson, because I don't think you can tell the story of Ring of Honor top seven without him having at least a lion's share of the matches. So I'm going to throw out him versus Morishima at Manhattan Mayhem, and I'm going to throw out him versus Nigel McGuinness from the UK, which unfortunately at this time...
Unified, I think.
I believe it was United? Or Unified, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. Because that was the match where they unified the titles. Okay, that was 2006. Ah, geez. Oh, that's a... Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there's other matches. I mean, that wasn't the only Danielson versus Morishima match. That wasn't the only Danielson versus Nigel match.
Right.
That makes it, yeah, so that makes it tough right there. I would, you know what, I'm going to say Danielson versus Nigel because I don't feel right leaving Nigel off the list. He's a good guy, and he's... He also had a very long title reign, and one where he worked injured for the last third of it, if I recall correctly.
Oh, it was incredible. He's a guy that he really pushed himself, you know, through a number of injuries, a number of setbacks, to really establish himself as one of the all-time Ring of Honor greats. And yeah, he's a guy that, you know, also when we talked about the Philly event earlier, you know, he was a guy that also departed right around the same time. And
yeah.
I had the pleasure of being a commentator with Nigel. He did two of the Women of Honor specials with me. So he really helped me through some of my early TV experience with Ring of Honor. So not only a great wrestler, but a great broadcaster. And I'm with you. I think we can't tell the story of Ring of Honor without Nigel McGuinness. So I think we have to put him on there with Bryan Danielson.
Okay. So Ring of Honor has the Honor Club. Ring of Honor has a huge pay-per-view Friday night. Dalton Castle and Jay Lethal. And, I almost forgot, Cody and Matt Taven in a big grudge match, which is, you know, you wouldn't figure that necessarily for a grudge, but it's been building for a while.
Oh, you know, and it's two folks that, you know, Matt Taven and the Kingdom are like a bunch of vultures. They're circling. They smell blood. Taven for months and weeks has been saying that there's a Kingdom conspiracy prohibiting him from the world championship. The way you get world title matches is to beat former world champions and beat guys that have been there before. That's the one championship missing from Matt Taven's mantle. He's held the three current active championships. So for him, he's gotten inside the head of Cody, who at this time his attention is drawn to Kenny Omega, is drawn to Flip Gordon, is drawn everywhere but Matt Taven. And this is a big opportunity for Matt Taven to really assert himself in that upper echelon. And he's, you know, been playing mind game after mind game, a couple low blows on Cody. He's stolen the Ring of Honor. So this is a really big match for Matt Taven, and one that I think he has the mental advantage on right now.
Yeah, this could be the biggest win. Well, almost the biggest win of his career. I think Matt Taven would rather win the world title, but yeah, that definitely could happen. Okay, so we have that show going on. We have. Do we know what's happening at the? I mean, is there anything announced match-wise for the TV tapings on Saturday?
You know, the TV taping. I'll let you in on something that we're about to announce. We will have the semi. We'll have the quarterfinals of the Women of Honor Championship tournament at the television taping. I do know the Young Bucks will be there. I do know that Jay Lethal, Dalton Castle, Cody, you'll be able to see the stars that you see at the pay-per-view at the television taping.
Right.
I know the Women of Honor will be there. So you will see the second round matchups. Aside from one, we will have one special second round match that will take place before the pay-per-view. You can watch on Facebook Live, on Ring of Honor Facebook Live, and you'll be able to see one of the final first-round matches, which is Sumi Sakai versus Hana Kimura from Stardom, making
her
U.S. debut. So, yeah, you'll be able to see that match live on Facebook, and you'll be able to see Brandy versus the winner of Tennille Dashwood and Stacey Shadows, a match that Ring of Honor will be uploading on YouTube. So I don't want to spoil who wins that one. So that fans can watch that and then know the winner faces Brandy. You'll be able to watch that match on Facebook Live. So at the TV taping, you'll see the remaining three second round matches in that tournament, which could feature some Stardom talent because we'll be rolling out some of the first round matches that involve the Stardom talent as well. So you never know who you may see. You might just see the U.S. debut of Mayu Iwatani. So that might be something to look forward to. So.
Yeah, that's all going to happen, and the Honor Club is we're waiting. Basically, I'm waiting for the Roku app to come out, and that's kind of what I go through, unfortunately. Yes, that will be crazy. So 2018, and even though wrestling was supposed to be dead, we can watch more of it than ever, and That's something we right. owe you guys for. So good luck. Good luck this Saturday. I'm going to go over the list again. Number seven, Brian Danielson and Nigel McGuinness from Unified 2006. Number six, Kevin Steen, El Generico versus the Briscoes at Man Up in a Ladder War. Number five, Samoa Joe and Kenta Kobashi from Manhattan 2005, Joe versus Kobashi. Number four, Tyler Black and Davey Richards from Death Before Dishonor 8. Number three, the Young Bucks and the Hardys from last year's Supercard of Honor, Supercard of Honor 11. Number two, Daniel Bryan and Austin Aries from Testing the Limit. And number one, Samoa Joe versus CM Punk, Joe versus Punk 2, their second match in their trilogy. Ian, thanks as always, and we'll have you back, and it's always great to have you on to talk Ring of Honor with us.
Oh, sounds great, Pat. Thank you so much for having me, and everybody, be sure to check out 16th anniversary this Friday.
All right. Thank you, Ian. And thanks to all of you for listening. I know we've got some good stuff coming up on the road to WrestleMania. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that in 4 weeks, Dave Prazak will be by, and we might be making a list about women's wrestling, and that's always a good time. And I want to tell you that we have a number of great shows. The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast will be broadcasting tonight, immediately following SmackDown, where the AJ Styles-Dolph Ziggler match is taking place. So you'll want to check that out, and you also want to check out MMA for Pro Wrestling Fans, which I believe dropped yesterday. And we also have our NXT postgame show on Wednesdays. And meanwhile, to tell you more about the many, many things that come with VIP membership here at PWTorch.com, here's our announcer guy. For the rest of you, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back more next week with more of Making the List on PW Torch Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Bye, Felicia.
Seacrest, out.